It's a fantastic joy to be here with you this morning. And I'd like to open with a testimony from a great man of God. And it had a profound impact on me. And I believe it will have a profound impact on you. Over time, I have discovered that God takes our fears very seriously. We often do not. Most of us have been afraid of the same things for so many years that we almost don't notice how they're affecting us anymore. Or worse, we choose to ignore them. This isn't fear, we may think. I just don't do that sort of thing. I'm not outgoing enough. Or it's not because I'm afraid of failing. I've just decided not to see this through. Our fears may seem small and insignificant to us, but they aren't to God. He will often go to great lengths to see that we are delivered from them. Several years ago, I had nightmares for 69 nights in a row. Most of the time, I would wake up sweating, yelling, and thinking I was going to die. I begged God to stop the dreams, but he didn't, at least not in the way I had been expecting. By the time night number 70 rolled around, I was staying up until 1 or 2 a.m. and avoiding going to bed for as long as I could. That night, when I finally fell asleep, I dreamed that I was in a huge, beautiful house. Everything was peaceful. But then I saw a bee outside the window, and I thought, oh no, not again. I'm not going to let them in this house. I got out my duct tape and taped up every window, door, and even the fireplace. I was determined the bees were not going to get into the house. And when I had finished, I was relieved. I had done it. I had conquered them. I couldn't see out the windows because the swarm was so thick, but I had conquered them. Suddenly, an angel stood beside me. Come with me, he said. But I knew better. I replied, I know you. You've been here before. Every time I go with you, you take me outside, and if I go outside, the bees are going to know I'm there, and they will sting me, and I will die. Rather forcefully, the angel said, I said, come with me. The next thing I knew, I was standing outside, about 100 feet away from the house. The bees blanketed the structure completely. You couldn't even see it anymore. The angel looked at me. Blow on it. Once again, I knew better. No, I told him. If I blow on it, they're going to know I'm here, and then they're going to come and sting me, and I'll die. The angel said, blow on it. It was clear that either the bees were going to kill me or this angel was. So coming up with a plan, I took a small breath and whispered at the house. I thought that maybe if I blew only a little bit, the bees wouldn't notice I was there, and the angel would be satisfied. But no, he turned to me again. I said, blow on it. Let the breath of God blow through you. Blow on that. Knowing I was facing imminent death, I took a deep breath and blew with everything I had. To my shock, a huge number of bees lifted off the house and vanished. Full of courage, I did it again. 3 breaths later, I could see that the house was completely clean. The angel looked at me and said, never allow the enemy to do that to you again. The Spirit of the living God will stop it if you will let him come forth from you. Never stop the breath of God. God takes our fears very seriously. None of them is inconsequential. And no matter how small they may seem, every one of them affects us. Our Heavenly Father wants us to be free from their negative and binding consequences. But we have to want that freedom too. We need to view our fears the way God views them. Take some time and ask him which fear or fears he wants to address in your life today. What does he want to remove? What do you need to start thinking differently about? It could be that God has a great blessing waiting for you on the other side of the fear, a blessing that has been available to you, but that you couldn't see because the fear kept it hidden from your sight. Let the breath of God blow through you at your fear, and you will reap the benefit true freedom brings. Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, reading from verse 1. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. This is fantastic. We know the great account of Moses. We know God called him to deliver the children of Israel. He had been 40 years in the desert as a shepherd, which was really a job a boy could do. But God spoke to him, the angel of the Lord spoke to him, and what began the greatest dialogue that changed history was he turned. He turned and looked at God. And we all live such busy lives. Sometimes it's like, look, we're like a little fish with a hook. It pulls us this way, it pulls us that way. We dance to this tune. We respond to so many people who need from us in our lives. But the greatest one is God. And the starting point was he turned. For 40 years, he hadn't been doing much. And look what happened. Moses said, I will now turn aside. Again, we see the freedom of will that we have, but he decided. And see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him. Then the whole thing opened up, the whole thing. But it didn't before Moses turned and God noted that he had turned. And then this dialogue started. Moses talked about his fears. You can read Exodus 3, Exodus 4. And God responded to each one. He showed them his great delivering power. And it was all taken care of before he stepped out in his calling for God. Let's look at Acts 2, 1 to 4. It's wonderful that this fellowship is called Acts Now. And truly, Acts shows us what men and women can do who are born again. But you know something fantastic? There is no book of Acts without Acts 2, 1 to 4. There is no book. It's all in four verses. And people like to write a book about those four verses. They want to talk and explain. But the whole greatness of the power is Acts 2, 1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that, in essence, shows us what it means to be born again. It seems a wild thing to say, but truly we have more than Moses had. We are born again ones. You know, when I see that cloven tongues like as of fire, we understand figures of speech in the Bible are there for emphasis. Like or as is a simile. It's a figure of speech. Fire has a phenomenal cleansing reality in life. And I think many Christians in the body of Christ, they'll focus on the problem or the issue instead of the cleansing reality of the fire of God within us. As I teach in different schools, often the topic will be the Great Plague or the Great Fire of London, 1666. 7,000 people died a week because of the Great Plague. They didn't know what caused it. They thought it was cats. They got rid of cats. They thought it was dogs. They got rid of dogs. Years later, they realized it was rats. It wasn't the rat themselves. It carried. The rat was the carrier of the plague, the bubonic plague. And 7,000 dying a week. It was tragic. If one person in a family was found to carry it, they'd tape up the house and put a red cross in the door saying not to go in there because it was contagious. But what brought it all to an end? The Great Fire of London. The Great Fire. It started in Pudding Lane. Isn't that a great address? Pudding Lane. Pudding Lane, the bakery. And of course, all the houses were so close together. It was a hot day. A fire started. It just swept through the houses. Couldn't be stopped, and it wiped out the plague. That's the power of fire. And much as we have, you know, maybe a mechanical way of reminding ourselves to speak in tongues because it's so mighty, it's so great, we must remember the essence and the greatness of God we have within us. God, who is Spirit, has given to us what he is. And it's a fiery spirit. It's a cleansing spirit. Look at Acts 3, just verse 6. We know Peter was flawed. What changed Peter from being a vacillating disciple? So flawed. Didn't he swear at people who accused him of being with Jesus Christ? He cursed. He just had problems. But look, Acts 3, 6. This beautiful incident. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. How could he do that? He had so many issues and problems, but there's no indication of a behavior modification course or anything like that. He just had the Spirit of God. What changed him? He was born again like we are. With Christ in us. Christian, that's where they got the word from, a Christ in person. Christian, Christ in. And we too are born again ones. Look at Acts 5. You rarely hear this section spoken about because people don't know what to do with it. Acts 5, verse 12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. The people magnified them. Verse 14, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Just like Jesus. And you know something? We should ache for this. That this happened in our day and time. Here we are, a beautiful number of people, and the Spirit of the living Christ is within us. Healed everyone, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Nobody came to Jesus sick and walked away. They were healed, everyone, with Jesus, and now they're healed, everyone, with Peter, who's so flawed. We all know what he did and didn't do. But this being born again changes everything. Changes everything. And people don't stop there and focus on the greatness of that Spirit. They'll go, oh, but this and that. Oh, but this and that. But nothing changes the reality of that. Which is why sometimes someone can open their heart to you. A lot of pain. This world is broken. It's just a broken world and it hurts us. But we turn our eyes upon Jesus. We look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. And you know, something to consider is that one of the most challenging things of the Christian life is to stay full and hungry at the same time. You know, and we are such blessed people. We really are. And Ephesians 1:3 says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. The greatness of the sonship, right? We are righteous, redeemed. We are sanctified. We are blessed, blessed, blessed abundantly. But it's very important that we stay hungry. And we see that hunger and humility are kind of a tandem. But, you know, natural hunger, it's interesting to consider natural hunger and spiritual hunger. If a child isn't naturally hungry, we kind of know something's not quite right. You know, if you sit down to the meal table, they say, I'm not hungry, I'm not eating. You know, something kind of not good is happening in their body. And, you know, it's the same with spiritual hunger too. We need to have that fire, that passion, that desire, and stay hungry. But the difference between natural hunger and spiritual, in the natural, when you eat, the hunger goes away. But in the spiritual, the more you eat, the hungrier you get. As you pray more, you desire to pray more. As your eyes become enlightened to the truth, it draws you deeper and deeper and closer to God. And all of us here, we're at a different place in our journey, in our life, in our walk with God. But God is pulling us to a new level. He's pulling us upward. He's not invited us to a plateau, but he wants us to grow closer, grow more passionate, more alive by way of his Spirit within us. I was thinking how a hungry person would steal. And I'm not condoning stealing, but they'll step out of what is considered safe because the hunger is driving them. You know, the hunger is driving them. And that lovely present you gave me, Dan, and it's the knot in the heart. We are all flawed people. You know, and yesterday I was just so blessed to go to Agape Now. and lovely sun on my back. It's so warm. This young chap I spoke to, he had a tattooed tear on his eye. And I'd heard of people who'd got that done, but I didn't quite know what it meant. And I went up to him with a bottle of water. I said, "Oh," I said, you have a tear." He said, "They killed my brother." I said, "I'm very sorry about that. I'm very sad about that." And I got to share a little with him, just a tender, broken young man. And it's lovely. I've spoken to Bob and Jeannie. We talked, we shared. He said, "I have to go to work now." So perhaps next week, but 10:45, Martin, young man with the tattooed tear there. But he was sensitive and he was hurting inside. Like every lost soul is the knot in the heart. And we mustn't forget that Jesus spoke of the shepherd who had 100 sheep, 99 doing great. But what about that one? And we mix with so many people, and whether they smile and laugh and act like it's all okay, if they don't know Jesus Christ, they really are hurting. And truly, people, what would you want in life more than love, joy, and peace? Without that, you're going through the motions, and you don't have that wonderful love, joy, and peace without the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 53. This is part of the prophecy that Mary gave. "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away." When we read this, we think, is this the Lord's distaste for prosperity? No, it's not. It's the Lord's distaste for those who have become satisfied with what they have and have lost the hunger and the passion and the desire to grow further with God. The Word of God speaks of the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. And milk flows real easily over our throat. It's lovely. And you can think of that representing the loving encouragement of God. And we all love that very much. The meat takes more digesting. But even before it gets to the digestion, we need to chew it and decide to swallow it. And the meat of the Word is that which provokes change. It provokes change. You know, if I haven't grown and changed from this time last year, it's not God's fault. You know, and this is just something we just have to check with our heart. And this was my message this morning. And in review, I thought the testimony of the dream makes us aware that God takes our fears seriously and we shouldn't ignore them. And behind them will be great blessing when we get delivered from our fears, but we must want that freedom too. God has called us with a high and great calling. Ephesians 4 says that. And much as a job might give us a career ladder, the people around us might spell out how they think we will serve them, which is wonderful in the love of God. God is speaking to each of our hearts, each one of us at this individual place in our lives. And just like Moses, we have to turn. We have to turn and honestly receive from God what he is speaking to us. Maybe it is to think about something in a different way. And we've just had a stronghold that this is right, that is wrong, a kind of a right-wrong mentality. And the Lord wants to melt it away, you know? So just like Moses, he decided to turn and then started this fantastic dialogue with God. And then we saw the power of the new birth, Acts 2. We truly are born again ones. It is stunning, the power that we have and the people that we are. And just like flawed Peter did the impossible, we too can do that. And then just a little glance at the importance of staying hungry, that healthy spiritual appetite. God speaks through his word, through his spirit. The heart-changing moments I've had with Jeannie over the time, staying with Jeannie, Bob, with each one of you, as I acknowledge the Spirit of God in you and that God is speaking through you to me. They were healed, everyone, with Peter. And we too, as we go to God, we can move up, move up. And I think these are the end times. And I think God needs every Christian in the body of Christ for the end time harvest. I believe we are running behind schedule. But we know our God doesn't do shame, condemnation. We just don't do that. But we rise up, you know. That Martin I met yesterday, he could bring hundreds to Christ. Hundreds who are, have got hearts with that knot in it. But Jesus wants to melt it away with the breath of God. All fears go. God bless.